Our scripture today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Lord, we thank you, and we remember that you continue to be at work. What a wonderful joy it is for us to know that these are not simply about words on paper, ink, put down, that's dead. This is something about you at work in us. You're alive in us. You're speaking to us individually. Thank you for that truth. And keep us mindful and open to your presence right now. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. You know, I found something on the window of my car whenever I was leaving the AWC football game last night. And, you know, people put advertisements on car windows all the time, but this is one of those situations and cases where they really probably wouldn't have put this on my car if they knew I was the one driving it. This is an advertisement for a new business. A man cave where men get their hair cut. Pass this back to Ray. I think he wants to go there. He was looking at me. They have TVs, Xbox games, billiards. I don't know how you play billiards while you're getting your hair cut, but that's a whole nother topic altogether. You know, we fill our lives with distractions. Getting our hair cut, playing Xbox, playing pool, watching TV, all at the same time. It's impossible, right? And yet, no. You'll stay afterwards. And you're doing all of these things, or you're cramming all these things into your life. And whenever you're cramming all those things into your lives, and many, many of us here have done this, what starts getting pushed out? What do you start getting distracted from? God. It's okay to say it. I've done it. I'm standing right before you, witnessing that to you. I've done it. We've all done it. Getting distracted, pushing God further and further out, cramming more and more things into our lives, trying to get more things done quicker, and all the while, God continues to speak to us. God continues to remind us, "I define you. I love you more than you can imagine." The world would define us by how our hair looks, how we dress, our job, our income, our relationships, the things we have. Somehow, defining success in those ways, somehow, vacantly, throwing these things out there one after another. We try to fill voids, and we try to say, look at what I've done, or look at who I know, or look at how I see how I look, and somehow that defines us. But it doesn't, does it? All those things do fade away eventually. All those things fade away. The thing that does not fade away, the thing that is constant, is God's presence. The only question is, do we understand it? Do we acknowledge it? Do we remember it? And do we live in a way that others can see that God's presence is the most important things in our lives? You'll notice oftentimes I will be lifting up questions for you, and I'm not going to give you an answer. No, not going to give you an answer. No cheat sheet here, but there is a source of information that we can look to. And we look to that once again in the words of Scripture. Now, before this particular interaction between Jesus and others in the Word of God, there were a number of teachings. The authority of Jesus was questioned. There is the parable of the story of the two sons. There's the parable of the wicked tenants. You heard that a couple Sundays ago. Yeah. About people not taking care of what God has given them, not recognizing their source of all goodness. Then there's the parable of the wedding banquet. And then we come to the question about paying taxes. Now, this is the first of three encounters between Jesus and people that wanted to hurt him. This is the culmination. And after these three encounters between Jesus and people that wanted to do him damage, there was no turning back. If there had been any question at all about if the cross was the final destination, there wasn't after these three interactions. And indeed, there would no longer be any sort of dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees. In this particular scripture passage, there's a group called the Herodians. And this is the first appearance of them in the Gospel of Matthew. We don't hear a whole lot about them. But we understand that since they were Herodians, they followed Herod, who was ruler of that era, of that area. It's like when we say we're Christians, who do we follow? Jesus Christ, absolutely. They followed Herod. And so they and the Pharisees were together on this. Now, oil and water, Arizona State and Arizona fans, you know, that kind of thing, just didn't go together. The Herodians and the Pharisees were coming from two different places. The Herodians felt, yeah, you should be paying this tax. You should be paying taxes because they were connected to those who were collecting them. Makes sense. The Pharisees said, no, if you're using a particular coin that says Caesar is God and holy, then you're going against Jewish law. And they come to Jesus and they try to trick him. But they begin by saying, teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Has anybody ever been so saccharine sweet that you just felt like that? And you knew they weren't telling you the truth? This is the case there. This is the case there. They're not being sincere. But they ask this question. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes on the emperor or not? Now, two different groups of people on either side of the question. And so you would think Jesus is penned into a corner here. There's no way of getting out of it. Well, you'd think that if you had no idea who Jesus was, that he was God incarnate. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." Jesus read right through it. He knew that they were just trying to trick him. What it said on that coin, by the way, is this: "Tiberius Caesar, August and divine son of Augustus, high priest." In other words, Caesar, the head of Rome, was the head of everything, was a living God. Jesus held that up, and they knew what it said on it, and they knew whose face was on the other side: Tiberius Caesar. Jesus' answer was profound, because in essence what he's saying is, okay, whose image is on this coin? Caesar. That's what belongs to him, and that alone. Nothing else bears Caesar's image. But he says something more. Jesus says, that which bears God's image, give to God. Now the question is, what bears God's image? Look around. Look around. Look around. I'm serious. Look around. Look around. You're seeing God's image. Other people, whenever they see you, are seeing God's image. If that's the case, then what is given to God? Our entire lives. The things that will fade away: hair, styles, cars, possessions, all of those things. You can give all of those to Caesar. You can give away all of that. And certainly, as citizens, we are called to do what? To only two certain things in life. Got it. Okay, yeah. Actually, there's more than that, but you know what I'm talking about. Called to pay taxes. But that's just only a part of what we are. It's not what defines us. What defines us, whenever we accept the saving relationship with the one whose image that we bear through Jesus Christ, is that relationship. That's what defines us. And how things continue to grow in that relationship. You see, there's a scripture passage in Isaiah that goes like this: "Can a woman forget her nursing child?" And this talks about the intimacy between us and God. Intimacy. If you don't think that God loves you intimately, if you don't think that God is at work in your life powerfully and intimately, I just want to remind you that He is. He truly is. "Can a woman forget her nursing child? Even these may forget, yet," God is speaking here, "I will never forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." God knows us so well that we're actually connected to Him. God knows us so well, He will never forget us. And therefore, we bear the likeness of God, the actual presence of God. We're channels of that presence in the world. How are you bearing God's image? How are you showing God's love and grace to others? Who defines your life? They were perplexed by this answer, weren't they? They really thought they'd trapped Jesus. But we knew that they weren't done. Whenever we get challenged by the world and we answer in a way that says, The things of the world don't define us, but God does. Things that fade away are just that. They're not eternal, but our saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ is eternal. And when we respond in that way, and when we show courage in that way, and when we point to God as being the one who is in charge in our lives, what we're doing is something that's very profound. It also builds God's kingdom, but we'll have to do it again. Just like they came back to try to trick Jesus again, there will be more challenges in our lives. Isn't it wonderful to know that our lives are not based on something that's going to fade away? Our lives are not based on something that's temporary. Our lives are based on the eternal love and grace of God at work each and every day. I'd like you to think in our time of discipleship and ponder here just for a few moments. You hear the music, and as you just think about whose likeness you bear, think about how God is working in you and how God seeks to work out from you and through you as well, and that you're defined by things that are eternal. And God has given you a saving relationship, offered you one through Jesus Christ. If you feel guided to this morning, you can renew that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You can do that. Feel like this morning simply saying, Lord, I know you have me on the palms of your hands. You know me intimately. And I seek to live in a way that shares your love. Do that. If you simply want to be open to that great, incredible grace filling you, you don't even want to offer any words, receive God's mercy and love once again, right now.